today's, that's the topic of today's lecture, traits. Okay, so let's start. The main concern that we are talking in this lecture is about reusability or modularity, or at least in this part of the lecture. And so far, we have seen that inheritance was used for most of the problems as a was the solution to most of the problems that we had so far, and clearly multiple inheritance was the most complicated approach, and was also mixins. But in general, is inheritance already the ultimate principle in terms of reusability? That is kind of questions that we want to tackle today. And what we'll be working with today is we will try to find classical starter's error. We want to identify the problems that come with modularity when you think about inheritance, and that is mostly problems of composition and decomposition. Then we're going to talk about the new idea, what is behind this approach of traits. And in order to do so, we first need to introduce what traits actually are. So we want to establish a concept for traits. Then we want to talk about how traits are meant to be used in designing the modules of your software. And last but not least, we're going to talk about how traits have been adopted in mainstream languages so far and how you can actually use concepts like these. Okay, so first of all, the central point, the central thesis that we want to treat today is, well, reusability, is it the same as inheritance? Is inheritance the thing that we want to use for creating modules? And yeah, so far, what you've heard in lectures that are dealing with object-oriented software design is that, at least on the beginner's level, you're told that code-sharing in object-oriented systems is mostly inheritance-centric. So most of the introductory examples will tell you that you can save yourself a lot of time by just inheriting methods from some parent and to not implement it yourself. And so far, we have seen several concepts that deal with inheritance. There's, of course, single inheritance. That's what everybody does. Multiple inheritance. That's what not so many of us do. And there's also this concept of having mixins, which is more complicated clauses to compose your types in order to get to your final classes. And all these inheritance principles are actually used to attack this problem of composing and decomposing your parts to make units where you concentrate on solving a certain issue of your software, which we then use as modules and which we want to compose afterwards to get to our very particular solution for our particular problem. And yeah, so what we've already seen where there are problems is, for example, duplication or redundancy. You have to actually still copy around code if you're not able to use something like second order types, expressions on second order types, like you can do for mixins and templates. If your language does not support mixins or templates, well, bugger you. There's no possibility to express that, and you have to go around the whole thing with something like aggregation, something. If you switch over to something like multiple inheritance, this also won't solve your problem completely, because there's still stuff that has to be done in an identical fashion. And even more, you have to, in some situations, you have to spread these similar parts of code over your complete code base. So you repeat this thing over and over, very different parts where you might even not consider them to be distributed. So that's one thing that you want to keep from happening, because this will make code maintenance magnitude of 10 higher than before. So yeah, that's a bad idea to have duplication. Then the next thing that we have not talked about so far is issues of you want to control how you want to access common features in a more flexible way than you can with common systems. So with the measures that you have right now, you can make compose your software and tell the system how you want to share or duplicate your objects, but you can only do so in a kind of class global way. So if you want to inherit from a common ancestor, for example, you cannot specifically say that you want this specific part to be shared and this other specific part to be duplicated. That's the only thing where you can say so is, for example, in the C++ notion of multiple inheritance, where you can tell that the system that you want your method from there, not from there. But what the objects where you cannot control is the attributes. You can only decide to share all the attributes that the class offers, or you can tell to duplicate all the components. If you have a look at this example, that's very up to date. That's drone control. And you might want to work at a company that offers drones, and they have a civilian sector and a military sector. And for one, they want to have for photographers and people who do films. They want to have planes where you can mount a camera, for example. This camera should be able to take pictures. So you have also as you want to develop generic software, you want to develop the mountable plane. The plane carries fuel and equipment. And if you plan to do the civilian sector, you develop the camera plane. And this thing will equip a spy camera or a camera in general. This camera is something that can shoot. And the camera plane is able to download the pictures. And there's also the other sector where you have the combat plane. The combat plane wants to shoot people. So it carries a precision gun that also needs to shoot. So now you've got a new client that's the police. And the police needs to have the camera and as well the gun. And now you're in the dilemma that with the means that you have with multiple inheritance, you can only decide on this level whether you want to share the fuel as well as the equipment. This would be for the fuel. From the fuel side, that's a good idea. For the equipment, well, what should you do if my police officer triggers shoot? Should I take the picture or should I fire the gun? Well, don't know for sure. If you want to make sure, you need to keep separate versions of the equipment. But now you also have to consider that your fuel is now shared, which is also some kind of odd decision. So, yeah, class level is probably not the level on which you want to decide whether you want to share or duplicate your attributes. So that's something that you simply cannot express with the means that you have right now, at least not with inheritance. And I think that comes for the same direction with all systems that have linearization. And for example, these mix-ins are such systems. You also are specifying your precedence on the class level and not on the component level. So if you have attributes and methods and all that, all of them will override the methods and the attributes that come from your parent. So yeah, same goes for mixins in this respect. And the only ways that you have to actually decide what you want to share and to duplicate is either this concept of super, where you can only have one parent. You have a unique way of saying for all the attributes and the methods of a class which one you want to prefer, or you have the qualified specification, which is not applicable for attributes. So, well, yeah, pick your own doom, so to say. But there's no other level of some kind of fine-grained specification of what you actually want to do with your code. Also, there's other things that you find in practical software where people wanted to circumvent the effects that you get from multiple inheritance and code duplication. For example, there's quite often you can find some kind of mistakes in your class hierarchy where you have pushed up your common methods too far up in order to use them in a more specific class implementation further down. For example, here there's one. This is a concept how to import the synchronized features into our stream example from last time, and the solution this time was that the programmer tried to implement it for both of the file stream and the socket stream, and he ended up in being socket streams being specialized synced RV things, which does not make a real lot of sense. And also there's socket streams on this level here are not meant to be special versions of something synced, and this makes chaos to your whole infrastructure, and even opens up a whole lot of new error situations, like the ones that you see here, where you have used the linked list as your parent class and the stack as your special version of the linked list. And actually, that's well. The stack is a special version of the linked list. If you talk about that in real language, but it turns out that from the concept that is behind, as soon as you go over to the stack, you might not want to have the same capabilities for stack, although it is something which is more special. There seems to be a few concepts in the linked list that are not valid anymore for the stack. So, for example, if you implement the stack with the linked list, you might want to keep the user from adding at a certain position, because that's something that your concept of stack does not offer you anymore. But with inheritance, you cannot really keep this method away, because unfortunately, there's something like the Liskov substitution principle, where your more specialized version of an object must still be able to be used in the context where the more general version was meant to be used. So if you actually turn methods obsolete, you might break your code and introduce new exceptions, for example, or simply it doesn't make sense anymore and breaks the internals of your stack, for example. And that's something that also makes inheritance at least not the ideal candidate for modules. So some people even go so far as to say that implementation inheritance in very many cases where you see it used is even an anti-pattern. Consider, for example, an excerpt from the Java API documentation, which I think speaks for itself if you read it. It's something really messed up, and it even turns out in the documentation. So it says, because properties is a class that inherits from the hash table, the put and put all methods can be applied to a properties object. However, their use is strongly discouraged, as they allow the caller to insert entries whose keys or values are not strings. The set property method should be used instead. However, you cannot turn the old methods obsolete, as they have been included in your scope via inheritance. If the store or save method is called an uncompromised properties object that contains a non-string key, they will fail. So you break the internal mechanisms of your classes with that, and that's something that's clearly not desirable. So with implementation inheritance, you get the problem that is, as it is so easy and so approachable, people tend to use it a lot more often as they should use it, actually, and even might not realize in the beginning that it is actually a mistake that they do so. So inheritance is misused quite a lot of times. And you should keep in mind that when you roll out something like such a class hierarchy in a library or something, it will reach a lot of users that will actually try to use it and try to use it in a lot of contexts. And yeah, turns out that if you do it like for example on a level like Google does, all the usages that are possible to be done with such software will actually be performed. So your bad behavior will actually catch up with you at a certain point. So yeah, all these things turn out to offer new problems to us that are related to composition, decomposition of your features in the software. And there's a lot of aspects that you have to consider, like there's the duplication thing, there's the fragile hierarchies, there's the problem of control that you're not able to control your sharing on a fine-grained level. And these are called the problems of functional D or composition. And actually, at this point, you might wonder whether hierarchies, like they are specified in inheritance, are really the principles that should be used in order to make your software modular. And if you're at that point, you might also think about, well, what can we do instead? And one approach to that is the one that is behind the introduction of traits. The idea is that a lot of the problems that you encounter with inheritance are actually related to the fact that the modeling and the composition of your software is actually done with the same measures. There's actual differences. Although something like interfaces seem to be organizable in a hierarchical way, something like functionality turns out to be a little bit different and seem to be more modular in another sense. So the idea with traits is that you would like to separate your design of the interfaces from the actual composition of your features. So the idea behind that is that with traits, with the approach of traits, you want to have means for assembling your functionality, and you want to have means for modeling hierarchies, and those should be separated from the place where you create your objects, because that is the place right now where you actually do both of that. And Yeah, so in future you want to use interfaces to design your hierarchical interfaces, well, your signatures, and do signature propagation, and you want to use other units of modules that we now call traits for assembling functionality and use them to move these functionalities inside of your new objects. And the things that you have known so far as classes, we will use as the frames that will bring together the interfaces and the modules that we have specified with traits. So, from a more formal point of view, let's go back to the simplified version of what we want to do, because that reduces everything to the very essentials and makes it comparable to the approach that we have seen last time with the mixins. So once again, we see classes and all the things that we want to compose our software of as maps, and these maps are mapping names to things like bodies or attribute offsets, or they might also be associated with the state that they have been prototyped but not yet defined, or they might be in conflict because it's not clear which of the implementations we actually want to map to. And the only thing that's comparable is kind of the not yet defined and a particular method implementation and the conflict value. So what have we what are our basic blocks or our basic units where we want to create our classes from? We have the abstract classes, which are just mappings without any restrictions. So if the abstract classes as pure partial mappings. Then there's the concept of interfaces, which is still there for interface. An abstract class is not allowed to produce any attributes or method bodies or even conflicts. It only needs to have prototype versions or just simply the signatures itself. Then there's concrete classes. The concrete classes are actually always defined and never in conflict. Yeah, that's the things that we know from ordinary inheritance. We might wonder what are traits, and that's what we find here. A trait is a special abstract class, and a trait only consists of either of not yet defined method names, of conflicts, or of method bodies, but not of attributes. And with these constructs, we can now try to come up with expressions that we want to use to compose our collections of methods. So what we're doing different from last time is that last time with mixins we have kept the asymmetric composition that we had in standard inheritance. That is something that we've seen that is problematic, at least from the point of view of traits now. And the only thing different that we could come up with is the symmetric joins. So for now, in order to compose two traits together, we will now resort to the other thing that we've seen, which was the symmetric join, or the trait sum in this context. All of you who have been to the tutorial have seen that there was something that I forgot to mention on the slide last time. So here it is. Essentially, what we have here is that the join will take an implementation from one of the, or a body of from one of the maps if the other one does not offer an implementation. If it does not even offer a mapping from this name, the better. if it is offering the same implementation, means that it must have been inherited from the same origin, then we can simply take one of the versions, and in every other case, we the trade sum will just keep a conflict for this entry. So that is what a symmetric join was, and we will use that as a new operation, trade sum, in this context. But with trades, we want to be even more, we want to have more more mighty way to express ourselves. What we also want to have is we want to remove something from the signature that is offered by one of the mappings. And for that, we want to introduce the exclusion. What the exclusion does is it takes a trait and a name. And what it actually does is for all the values that, or for the one entry that actually corresponds to the name that we have seen, we will just remove it from the mapping. So it will yield undefined now, and all the other entries will be just the same as they have been originally. So nothing too fancy here. It's just removing one of the entries from the mapping. The other additional expression that we want to use now is aliasing, or aliasing. So what is that about? Aliasing will take a trait, and it will take two names, these two, and all it will do is it will let the name A be mapped to the same entry as the name B has been. That's what is said here. So it will yield the entry at name B whenever I use name A. Apart from that, it won't change anything. So with these two additional expressions, as well as the trait sum, our functionality is now composed from the things that we get from the trait sum. And yeah, that is how we model the functionality for our classes now. And in the very end, we're supposed to bridge from the trait world into the class world by just doing one last asymmetric join, where we will add the functionality from our trait world into the resulting class. And yeah, the approach says that you need to have one last chance to override certain methods that were created in this in these traits. Why is that? Well, you need to remember that in the beginning we have said that our traits actually don't offer something like attributes. The general idea is that if you don't have attributes, well, you cannot really create something that has a state. But we have seen that state is something that that creates problems in your designs, because you want to actually sometimes change the way you handle certain attributes or something. So the idea is that for the traits you don't introduce state right now, but instead you defer the definition of your state variables to later on by introducing kind of abstract method, and then in very last step, when you create your class, you will then kind of catch up with the abstract methods that you have introduced so far and assign the concrete state to them. So what you do is you specify abstract getters and setters for all the attributes that you're going to use. And only in the very last step, when you create the class, you will link them to actual implementations of these getters and setters in order to then definitely say how you want the system to behave in terms of sharing or keeping duplicates. And on your way through composing these freights, you're supposed to, while composing, whenever you get your conflict, you're supposed to rename the things that you want to keep separate, or override the things that you can do common, in a common way. So that's the way you're supposed to design your systems when you go over to traits. So finishing with the properties for traits, what you get is you get certain principles that are behind this. For example, what you have is that as long as you keep composing traits only, you will have symmetric relations, so you don't have a real order between the components with which you want to merge into a new component. So there's a kind of a flat ordering between the things that you get from there. So you have to explicitly ambiguate with aliasing and inclusion, and with that you get your fine-grained control over what you want to assemble. Then, as soon as you do your asymmetric join in the end, where you where you make the whole thing creatable or make a class out of your traits, the class methods actually take precedence over the trait methods in order to be able to add the last few bits to your software components. So that's the precedence aspect of the whole thing. And then after you have finished with composing your models and you have ended up with your classes, you're supposed to not be able to differentiate between whether a method originally came from the trait or from the class implementation. It should actually behave the same way. So there's a kind of flattening happening after you have assembled your modules. So that's what the three trait composition principles are all about. So basically, if you see conflicts in your traits, you're supposed to what are they actually originating from? They originate from entries in your maps that map to different bodies, and as soon as you hit this, you will be able to treat these things with aliasing, with exclusion, and at least, of course, with your class methods that override the methods from your traits. Okay, so because you've seen last time a concept that is quite similar, where you also had some kind of way to obtain method implementations from multiple modules, I have gathered a few of the aspects that come come with traits, mixins, and of course with class inheritance, and put them here on the slides in order to try to disambiguate what all the what the different approaches are all about. So all of these have different types of expressions. For example, if you've there's one of the approaches that with which you can have second order expressions of types and have some kind of linearization involved. Well, that is a kind of behavior that you get with what? Which of the approaches offer kind of higher order expressions on types? This means that you have kind of operators that you can define that you can apply later on to other types. That's something that you get with mixins. So mixins have been have enabled you as a programmer to define certain mappings that are meant to be applied to another type with the ordinary inheritance operator, but it is kind of bound lately, so you or late in a, so there's dynamic resolution of your parent involved. So that's what mixins are about. Then there's an approach that offers fine-grained composition of modules. Well, fine-grained is one of the terms that we have only heard in this lecture so far, so that's probably what the traits are supposed to offer you. So flat ordered also means that there's no precedence involved. So yeah, that's probably what traits are all about. And then you've heard an approach that is just consists of specifying local partial order on particular types, and that's what ordinary inheritance expressions are all about. They define small portions of your of the order that is supposed to be between your classes with respect to the resolution of method calls. So that describes what your class inheritances or class definitions and inheritance definitions in classes are all about. And of course, in the wild, there's a lot of things happening, and people tend to not implement only clear implementations of only one concept, but they tend to combine these between each other. So there's a lot of approaches where you have, for example, mixins and class inheritance, of course, and there's approaches where you have traits and class inheritance, where you can, so to say, continue after you have composed your traits all together into a class. You can still continue with inheriting from each other and also insert a new step of trait composition and connect them with inherit to some other class. And yeah, so there's a lot of combinations also possible. Very explicitly, how your traits differ from mixins is, well, the things that you have to look for is the mixins are supposed to be applied to each other in a sequence. Traits are meant to be composed in a kind of parallel or symmetric way. So that is one of the major differences between them. The trait composition is unordered. So there's no linearization happening, and there's nothing going on automatically. You always have to specify which of the partners you want to prefer. Traits do also not contain attributes. So as soon as your components can carry some kind of state in an attribute form or some other form, this will tend to have state conflicts and is not traits anymore. So attributes are assigned for mixins, and yeah, this glue code is something that we haven't concentrated on so much. So yeah, that's for it. Yeah, all in all, for traits how do they fare when they are confronted with the problems that we've seen for modularity? We had the duplicated features. For example, where you have to just had to implement the same code over and over. Well, with traits, that's pretty easy now, because you can factor out the code that you have to implement over and over into certain traits, and with these you can keep unique, and you just have to compose them afterwards. The other decomposition problem that we had was the problem of inappropriate hierarchies, where you had misused your hierarchy in order to carry common parts to your particular children. And yeah, that's something that won't happen anymore if you go over to traits, because for traits, yeah, they're just not coupled with hierarchies anymore, so the problem just doesn't show up. When you try to compose your modules afterwards, we have seen other problems. For example, the one for conflicting features, where we wanted to decide on a more fine-grained way, and that's something that traits can also do, because they have this exclusion, aliasing, and overriding, and in general, you have to decide whenever you have something that is conflicting, you have to decide yourself what you want to do. So that's what lack of control and conflicting features is all about. The code that you need to connect different components with states, that is something that we call glue code. That is something that is not distributed anymore over your class hierarchy. If you keep to the pure trait concept, you do that in the very last step when you make a class out of your traits. So it's kind of concentrated in the final class. And yeah, the other thing that you've seen, the final thing, is this fragile hierarchies. And they were an issue because you had all these things you had to carry with you, because in inheritance and specialization, you can never take away things. If you model your features with traits, you can simply exclude the parts that you don't want to be transferred into your final product at the place where it starts to become obsolete. So, you will be able to circumvent these kind of fragile hierarchies, as you don't compose your software in hierarchies anymore. Okay, so before we will dive into augmenting the classes that we've seen so far with traits, I think we should do a little break to give you